of the Suburban Hood Moms.
Real talk with real sisters. I'm Nikki.
I'm Andrea.
And this is episode Rumpy Pumpy.
Sponsored by Victus Equities, helping people build wealth and retirement through real estate. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2020.
I didn't even look at you when you were already laughing. If you're not already following Suburban Hood Moms on Instagram or Facebook or Diary Moms on Twitter, head over and do it now.
You get access to sneak peeks on what's to come, bloopers, upcoming giveaways, and
the Hood Lowopedia.
You know,
I heard Dave cough in the background.
I heard it too. I was like, as soon as I press record, I heard him go,
fucking Dave. Right off the bat. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi.
I'm all right off the boat.
I don't think I can't.
B-word.
I can never convey enough how much Nikki has to practice with me before I press record on the date. Every time she'll ask me, what day is it? What's the date? And then she said, say it.
And she's all, today is August Tuesday. Shit. Today is Og. Today. It's like I'm watching the King's Speech.
I think now, at this point, I think it's in your head. My head. And I'm like, oh no, the dates. Probably why I have like PTSD when I'm filling out the school forms and like the date everything. I'm like, my hand's like frozen.
What if you ever go into a coma and you come out, you're really not going to know what date it is.
Like, don't ask me the date.
When they test people for like Alzheimer's and stuff, they ask them the date. You're fucked even now.
Well, even when Dave said when they go on calls, sometimes they have to ask people like, okay, do you know your name? And, you know, what's the date? If they ask me
that, I'm going to get you a bracelet that says, don't ask. Nothing's wrong. She just never knows the date.
I never know.
I wonder if I can get that on one of those medical bracelets.
You know why I know that today's Tuesday? Because my trash goes out on Tuesdays. Like it gets collected.
You know what? They changed our trash day 6 months ago. And I still forget the trash day now.
Oh, no.
Because they changed it. Now I forget it.
So they changed ours too. I don't know how I remembered, but I somehow remember trash. But that's it.
Can I tell you something about our sponsor?
Yeah.
So Antonia's watching something. I don't know if it was on YouTube or something.
Our sponsor forgot our second month anniversary.
Our sponsor is a deek.
Deek.
She's watching something and I hear it in the background say sponsored. And in my head, I go, by Victus Equities. And then when it was sponsored by non-Victus Equities, I'm like, what?
How rude.
I was like, oh, not everybody's sponsored by Victus Equities.
Well, all I know is that we don't have donuts for month two.
And Samuel's here. And he demands donuts.
So we were synced up with our Samuel L. If you're new to our podcast.
I have to take off my bracelet. It's making too much
clinky,
noise
clinky,
on me. Yeah.
Clinky, freaking.
It's like a dog collar.
Yeah. Mrs. Roper over here.
I like Mrs. Roper.
I like Mrs. Roper too. She's badass.
I ain't insulted. Thank you.
I want to wear baubles like her. Like
I just like the word baubles.
But I want to wear them like she did. Like she pulled that shit off with her muumuu and she was just so cool.
I bet you she was comfortable. She was the most comfortable actress in a muumuu.
And she was wearing no bra under there. We'll get to the bra update.
She wasn't wearing a bra.
With that muumuu, it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't be able to tell.
I don't know.
Even if, like, big-tittied women didn't wear bras with muumuus, they would just look more flat-chested.
No, it doesn't. Because your big titties blend in with your waistline, and then you got two nipple bumps where your belt buckle should be. So, you could tell. Hello.
I totally forgot what I was saying before that.
Samuel L.
Oh, yes. If you're new to our show, thank you.
You get to hear about our menstrual cycle all the time.
We were totally synced up. We call our menstrual cycle Samuel L. And we had gotten to the point where we were on the exact same day. And then I don't know what happened, but Nikki went off schedule. And so now her Samuel L is here.
I don't like to be held to your rules.
And mine's not. Which means now we're in for like the next 2 weeks of total just insanity from one person or the other.
Yeah.
That's never.
You know what I think it is? Because before you, I was synced up with my work wife. And my work wife started like a week ago. I think I'm now in the middle of the two of you. I think my uterus is in a tug of war between work wife and you.
That's some bullshit. But speaking of bras, give your bra update.
Okay, so when we spoke about my titties last time, one of our listeners had messaged me about Lane Bryant. And then when they have a bra sale, that she's going to tell me because their prices are good on their bra sale. Because
remember, folks, Nikki has big jugs.
Yes.
Go ahead.
They're heavy. They hurt my back. And so it just so happened that like 2 days after she messaged me, Lane Bryant had this big semi-annual sale. And so I ordered two bras because one, all the styles I liked, they didn't have in my size. They had way smaller or way bigger.
And no front clasp.
Yeah, all the front clasp were out of my size.
Do you hear that rumbling?
Yeah.
He's pulling in the trash cans right now.
I thought it was either a truck or that we were getting a monsoon.
No, it's fucking Dave.
He's a saboteur.
I think so. That's very good, though. Yeah. Very good.
So I order these bras. They come in. The regular bra fit fine because I know my bra size. And I ordered this really cute strapless. Now, it's hard for me to find bras. It's even harder for me to find strapless. I couldn't close the motherfucker.
I told you, though, strapless bras are all, they always come a little bit but more snug. But all
my other strapless, I never had that issue. And this is so, it had like that, almost like a half the bodice thing. And it's like, I don't know, two sizes too small. I couldn't close it. So now I got to return that shit. And I hate returning shit.
I said boning.
Your mom does boning.
We got to take it easy on Chapo. So this takes us into a Chapo story. Okay. So for the last podcast that we recorded, when we were listening to the playback afterwards, Chapo likes to sit there and listen as we play back. Now, because we are totally off of our recording schedule because life is happening, we're not having those opportunities to sit down and review our podcast. But we did for the last one. So there's Chapo and Dave and Nikki and I sitting around the table. And that is when Chapo was first introduced to the term fluffer.
Right.
And so I have taken the stance with Chapo that the best thing to do is really not to make a very big deal about anything. Just be very clear and concise and confident with whatever explanation that we have to give her. So I stopped. I think I paused it and I said, do you know what a fluffer is? And of course she doesn't. And I said, okay. So I explained to her the role of a fluffer in porn. And she was just like, oh my God, how do you guys know these things?
Dad.
No, not our dad.
But everything bad gets blamed on dad.
Right. And I'm like, mom, it's just kind of like a well-known thing. You know, they need like, you know, people to get them ready. They're actors. That just happened to be having sex.
They're just naked actors. That's the most comfortable acting alive.
And she was just kind of like, oh my God. Now, I talked to Dave about that, listening to that with like my mom at the table. I'm like, did that make you uncomfortable? He's like, no. I'm like, you never felt like, oh my God.
Even when we talked about you giving him a strap on from behind?
Yeah. He goes, I honestly don't even remember that conversation, which feeds into the theory that we've said long ago.
He doesn't listen to us.
He doesn't listen to us.
But you know what? Okay. So we say that. But then if we're in the kitchen.
And we're talking
quietly.
And
we're cheese-maying.
Yeah.
And he's somewhere else doing something else. And if we stop and he wants to know more, he's like, wait, what was that?
Yeah.
So.
It's selective listening. And I think that he doesn't want to admit when he listens to us because he doesn't want to give us that kind of power. But we already have that kind of power. Pussy power. So with this podcast, as we were planning for it, of course, so Nikki and I have our brainstorming sessions.
That's a lot of brain.
It comes time as we're like really getting into the nitty gritty of the planning.
And getting my gritty.
Of course, that's when Chapo decides to grab her cup of coffee.
Seriously.
Come on over to the table.
Sit down for a nice cup.
What's going on over here? So Nikki immediately, I can't get the image out of my head. Nikki takes her hands and and covers her notebook and kind of leans forward like a little kid who doesn't want their parents to see. It's like when Nikki wrote on my parents' Bible, their wedding Bible.
They don't know this story, asshole.
I'm gonna tell it really quick. My mom and dad had a wedding Bible that they had had since they got married. Big, beautiful, white thing. Went through four other children unscathed, might I add.
Because nobody cared enough about the Bible to read it besides me.
So, one day, you see the words, "I love God," written in black ink.
I don't know.
Written in ink.
It was a Bic pen, though.
With the cap in Nikki's writing. And Choppa was like, oh!
How did I get in trouble for writing "I love God"?
She kept it on her nightstand. Mind you, not one of us ever thought to write.
It was a Pope John Paul II, all in color.
Our parents' Bible. So she got into quite a bit of trouble.
Yeah, and now I'm scarred for life. So just for praising the Lord.
So understand that seeing Nikki cover her notebooks like almost like she wanted to put her big jugs on top of them, like to cover it. And so of course Chapo decides to sit right next to me. So I'm like, okay. Look, Mom, we're doing a podcast about sex, and it's not going to be all, sex.
Speak for yourself.
Which is what Nikki says. And I'm like, but we want it to be, like, educational.
And again, speak for yourself.
So she kind of is like, she hasn't said anything. I think she's trying not to give us any ammunition. But I
she
just want to
stay at the table.
No, and I just don't. I want to go a little easy on Chapo because she's had a rough few weeks with her daughters in the podcast. The Pornhub thing continues to haunt us. Now the fluffer.
It haunts you.
Now the fluffer.
The fluffer's funny.
Now Mikey. Now our little brother, younger brother, has the title of fluffer, which he said he doesn't mind.
Duh.
He doesn't mind being
our
fluffer.
Are you shocked?
No, I'm not.
He asked me today. He's like, what day? Or should we tell? We can tell them.
We can tell them.
We're going to have Mikey on with us on our last one of the season.
Right. So we've got this episode is a part one. It's two parts. So this is part one. We'll have part two. And for our last episode, the 13th episode. That is when we will have our fluffer, Mikey, will join us on the podcast.
Because we need a mediator sometimes.
Yeah.
Because Andrew's abusive.
You're a bitch.
So in planning for this, normally when we come up with our title, it's like, boom, right away, lightning strikes. We know our title pretty instantly most times. And for this one, it was kind of like, we can't call it the sex podcast. Like, that's just too generic. I wanted sexy sister time.
Gross.
Then my other option I thought of was sex with sisters.
Grosser.
Grosser. But it would be such clickbait.
Oh.
And Andrew didn't like those.
No.
She's such a stick in the mud.
Yes.
So I decided to Google other terms people use for sexy time. And the internet never disappoints. So there's the regular ones plus some new ones. I'm just going to read you this whole list because I like it.
The list is gold.
Sex time. Hot beef injection. Hot beef injection needs honorable mention.
Right.
I've never heard that. And that was, that's a gold.
One. That's a great one.
Boinking. Root. I don't get root.
I don't get root.
Netflix and chill. Poontang. Poontang just sounds stinky.
Yeah, it smells. It smells.
It smells. Yeah, see? It sounds smells.
Yeah, it's like that, yeah.
Barney Muggin.
I like Barney Muggin.
Andrew likes that. Hump. Rumpy Pumpy, which we chose.
Is what we chose.
Sex Ride. Humpa Humpa. Scene 2. Beast with Two Backs. I don't get that one. Screw, fucking, trim, sexual act, sexy times, screwing, shag, skin, snoo snoo. Which is what I'm going to call Dave now. Snoo snoo.
Hey, snoo snoo.
Beef injection, action, lay, ass, copulation, frig. Frig? I wonder if that's like a different dialect type term.
Like for like, you know, other parts of the world.
Yeah, like in Great Britain, like they call a cigarette
like
a fag.
Yeah.
Bang, nookie, sexual intercourse, consummation. Commerce.
Commerce?
Commerce. Maybe that's in reference to like sex workers.
I have no
What's
idea.
What's your business?
Commerce.
With your husband. Horizontal hula. Posh and Bex.
Oh, get it? Beckham.
Oh, Posh and Bex.
I just got that.
Here's Andrea's favorite. It made it on the list, folks. Sexual relations.
What the fuck?
Rumpy Pumpy, spelt differently than the other Rumpy Pumpy. Coupling, horizontal mambo, hanky panky, monkey business, intimacy, horizontal refreshments.
That sounds classy.
That sounds like a summer night.
That sounds like you put a
Would
piece
you
of.
You like to have some horizontal refreshments. Like
you put a piece of mint in your vagina.
Mint, yeah, like a mint julep.
Have
only.
A piece of that mint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Union, sexual congress. How political. Heterosexual intercourse.
What?
Intermission.
I like intermission. It's time for intermission. Okay, Barney Muggin, intermission.
Commiction. And my favorite. How's your father?
How's your father?
I don't get it.
Maybe some of these are like code words for like when you're out to kind of talk about like to signal to your partner like, how's your father?
Yeah, well, maybe it's like a time period piece. Like, you know, they used to call on women. Oh. So they call and be like, how's your father?
If they really wanted to get under that skirt and hit that.
And under those 20 layers of underwear.
Yeah, yeah. You know, can you imagine how nasty, stinky?
Okay.
Wait, me first. All right, fine, go.
They didn't even manscape or ladyscape.
No.
So that alone is a lot of bushes to get some friction. You're going to cause a fire down there.
The other night we watched The Patriot. Mel Gibson, The
we
Patriot.
We just watched it not too long ago. Like a week ago. Weird. That's one of Zach's favorite movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, ugh. Dave's like, can you imagine wearing all those clothes in the summer? And all those layers.
I kid you not. So we always watch that and Tombstone, right? They kind of interchange.
Yes.
And every time Zach's like, he sees this look on my face and he's like, you're thinking about how there's no AC. I'm like, first of all, there ain't no AC. And them bitches wore too many fucking clothes.
Yeah.
I said, I would have been a brothel whore just so I could walk around in my chones all day.
But they still wore a lot, even
But they still wore less. They wore less.
Yes.
They wore less.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to be like a prostitute back then. And they didn't have to do it with those nasty men.
But they had baths more often too.
Ugh.
And that was, and what, they bathed? They didn't always bathe, like at least maybe once a week.
No.
And did you know in certain parts of the country, the hierarchy attributed to bath time.
The country or the world?
Well, I only know about like here like when people came here.
Okay.
So like the head of the household.
Right.
And then the next.
Right. And they all got the dirty, the water.
So if you were
down
at the bottom ring, you got the dirtiest
bath water.
So you got dingleberry water and armpit water.
Dick cheese water.
Schmegma. All of that.
Ew.
All of that.
I could have had the whole rest of my day without ever. I'm just seeing it like. I'm gagging.
I would have
I'm gagging. I'm sick.
There is a reason I'm not a wilderness woman.
I'm sick.
You can't throw.
No.
Her eyes are watering. Ooh. She just got a little baggy under her eyes.
And this is not good. I'm sick.
My life is complete.
Oh, God. So, changing gears just a little bit. Some of you have probably already started school. Your kids have, if you
or
have children or your
or
grandkids,
and nephews.
Considering our demographic. Over here, Nikki had, Antonia had her first date today.
Right, this morning.
And my kids start tomorrow.
It was a tough morning.
Yeah.
At our casa. So believe it or not, my child sometimes is shy. I don't know how that works in our family. And first of all, she wanted to go to real school because she missed her friends. But that's not an option because this mama ain't playing with the Rona.
No.
And so she wasn't already with a great mindset going into homeschool, online school. But then as of this morning, before school started, she said she was excited. She was happy. I do that little board for her picture with like, you know, her age and everything.
Right.
And it said, I'm like, what are you excited for? She said, I'm excited for being online school. I was like, well, that's new. But When it came time, she had to Zoom twice a day, and she had to do, like, a video thing to send to her teacher. And when it came time to it, she, like, totally froze up.
On the Zoom.
On everything. Anything, like, that was her face on a camera, she froze up.
Because they had to do some recorded stuff, like, right. And send it
that She, like, forgot, like, the most basic words to say. So she had a couple meltdowns this morning. So
Antonia's in a dual language program.
Right.
She obviously knows her English words, but she froze up on her Spanish.
She forgot some of her English words. That's what I'm saying. She forgot words. She forgot words. Like, no.
Poor Tony.
She just forgot words. And so, I mean, okay, her Spanish words I can see, but no, she forgot some of her English words. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she had a rough morning. But then she got to go to Fluffer's house and see his dog. And
the one thing we got to say about Fluffer is he is brilliant with children. I think we've mentioned it before. He's gotten all of our children to walk.
Right.
When our kids' teeth, like when their teeth are loose and they're like hanging on by a string, he's the one that can get them. Our kids will willingly open their mouth up for him so he can just flick their tooth as hard as he can so it can come out.
Right. And so, again, he came in today and save the day and talk to her about being nervous talking in front of people,
right,
and what he does.
Yeah.
So
people don't bring me their kids for stuff like that.
No, but I always send her to you to get like the hard talks.
Oh, the tough love.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I'll be like, you need to talk to your niece. Don't I always tell you that? Talk to your niece.
So my kids, this is their last day of freedom. So yesterday,
basic last. Need him.
Oh, Hamilton.
Yeah.
Aww.
She's been singing him
all night. So they're, you know, their last days of just kind of doing whatever. So yesterday, Nicholas, of course, my eldest.
What's the term for Nick that's kind of like fucking Dave? But I don't want to say fucking Nick because he's my godson. Beach and Nick.
No.
It's too hard.
I Nick. So he comes out of his bedroom. He's got his headset on because he's gaming with his friends. And you can tell when he wants to ask something because he's like, hey, Mom, how are you?
He's so nervous when he has to talk to his mother.
You know he don't care how I'm doing. And I'm like, what's up, Nick? You see, I'm playing video games with, let's just say, Barney. And not Muggin, just Barney.
I know. I don't even like Barney the dinosaur.
Okay, we'll say
Ralph.
Ralph. I'm playing video games with Ralph. And so he plays on the stupid Xbox. And so he has these things called V-Bucks. If you are an Xbox player, you know what I'm talking about. But it's like digital money. And he's like, Ralph really wants this saber. And, and I'm like, no. I already know what he's going to say. He's like, oh, well, the thing is that... Hold on.
I already forgot that we came up with a fake name, Ralph. I'm like, who's Ralph?
Do we know him?
He doesn't have a friend named Ralph.
Anyway, he's now asking me. Now, I don't know about other parents, but I know for Mexican parents, okay... When you are trying to come to your mom or dad and say, hey, I want to take the money that you have given to me and give it over to my friend so that they can have X, Y, and Z. There is something that does in the minds of Latino parents. It sends us over the freaking edge. It's like if you ask...
The whole neighborhood ain't eating here?
Yeah. It's like if you ask your friend, like you ask in front of your friend if they can spend the night.
Yeah.
Dude.
Because you know your parent can't go and kick your ass in front of your friend.
Right. So you're like, oh, Mom, can Sheila spend the night? And Sheila's right next to you and you get this look from your mom like...
I don't got no Sheila's.
Oh, my God. You go with the fucking story. So I was like... Did you already? So I'm like, no. Gave him that lecture. Like, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and give him the saber and then don't ever ask me for any money for V-Bucks ever again. He's like, okay, then I'll go tell him no. I'm like, you mean you already offered without asking me?
He's so dumb.
First? And he's like, oh my God.
That's why he gets in trouble the most.
That's why I'm going to have a heart attack. And... die soon. And Ian and Evangeline are just sitting there like shaking their heads like, stupid.
Uh-huh.
And then later, Nick's like, hey, Mom, I'm really sorry about that. I'm like, oh, Nick.
And, oh, here's the funny thing. Nick doesn't hate Antonia, but Nick hates Antonia. And they are so much alike.
So much alike.
So many things that they do that they get in trouble is for the same thing. And then we're like, you guys are so much alice. And Nick gets this look on his face like he wants to cuss me out. I'm like, hey, you can't.
He is in his mind. So, on to
Rumpy Pumpy.
This is the best name ever.
I know. Rumpunch. Rumpunch. We have to remember what that's from.
It's from Mary Poppins.
That's what it, well, we're associating Rumpy Pumpy with Mary Poppins.
Well, I mean, it's
a, she'd be popping.
She'd be popping. So, we had been wanting to do a podcast about sex for many reasons, but I think the main one was that we've realized in talking to other, like, women in our lives, be us related to them or friends or acquaintances, there's a lot of women out there who really aren't enjoying sex the way that they should. So, if you're...
Go ahead. You never let me talk when I want to talk.
Go ahead.
You always smack me
behind the camera. I wasn't stopping
you. She always hits me when I want to talk.
Right.
Ow, you pinch me.
Ow. Right.
No, and one of, like, the main things that we had said in the very, very beginning was how sad it is that there's so many women that have never had an orgasm.
Yes.
Like, legit, if there was a give the money to the children version of for women without orgasm, I need to donate to that.
Yeah. If we could deposit anything in that bank.
there's sperm banks.
We would. Because it's, I think it would make people just happier if they were able to.
I'm happy when I orgasm.
Experience the full, you know, pleasure behind it. But,
And there's that stigma about talking about sex, too.
Right.
So we want to lay it out there. That's for you. Freebie. That just because you can talk about sex,
it doesn't make you any of the following.
You're not loose.
Nope.
You're not a whore.
Nope.
You're not easy.
Nope.
You're not a slut. You're not sex crazed. You're not a nympho. I mean, if you refer to yourself that way, that's fine. Right. But we're not going to, like... Just because somebody has talked to me about sex,
I'm never like,
she's loose girl. Such a whore.
And that has happened so many times. It's like, you're not supposed to discuss these things. It's like, but wait a minute. If you can't talk about it openly, it remains this, like, shameful act. And that's just stupid.
Yeah, ain't no shame on my sex game.
Hell no. So, if you are one of our male listeners, we are not about to bash men. We are only discussing sex from a female standpoint and kind of taking you into our little intimate conversations with other men. And you just might learn something. Because I find that...
You said our conversations with other men.
I'm sorry, other women.
But we had conversations with men too.
Had conversations with men too. But yeah. Other women. Thank you. Because there's a lot to learn. All too often when you do talk to men or you hear men talk about sex... They all claim to be experts. Sexperts.
That they're the best.
Oh, yeah.
They're the best.
Yeah.
I always think about Anne Boleyn's.
Henry
VIII.
Right.
And when he married Catherine, the second Catherine. Not the first Catherine. Not Catherine of Aragon. The one that was, anyways, he was already older and he was, you know, he had that like wound that stung.
Wasn't that Jane Seymour? Oh, no, she died. Anyway, go ahead.
But he said like, how she stunk and she was this, but it was actually
him. Yeah, right. So, the first thing we want to talk about is
a lie.
A lie. Starts with a lie. And it's called a porngasm. So, we've all done it. What is a porngasm?
It is not a real orgasm. It is fake news. It is the orgasms that you see women have in porn. They're like, ah!
Or even screaming. Even in movies and stuff like that. Now, that's not to say that it isn't possible for certain orgasms to elicit that type of response.
Right. But that is not every orgasm.
No, it's actually mostly not. And when women do porngasms, why? Why do they do it?
So it's usually for a couple reasons. It can be to boost the male partner's self-esteem or ego in that moment.
Right.
Like, you know that he needs that sound to keep going or to whatever.
Right.
Or it is to fake the orgasm because you're actually kind of bored. Or he is not really hitting the spot for you.
And you're like, let's just move it along.
So you fake
right. The
orgasm.
So Nikki and I were having the discussion. Now, mind you, so we talk very openly about sex.
Pause. Also, with the fake orgasm, because a lot of guys will be like, oh no, I could feel it. Well, we can squeeze.
We can mimic release. An orgasm. Right.
And so you don't know when we're faking it.
No. But... So Nikki and I speak very openly about sex with, like, other people in our lives. But when we talk to each other about sex with our husbands, we're like, ew. So yeah. Nikki's like, if I'm talking to Nikki about, like, me and Dave, she's like, ew. And when she's talking to me about her and Zach, I'm like, bleh. It's just, like, so gross, right?
But then, like, if my best friend is like, oh, me and my dude, and she goes into detail, I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, we were planning and you pointed something out and you're like, oh yeah, with this. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And you're like, why are you making that face? I was like,
because it's me. Right?
And I just go, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the one thing that, that men, I'm not sure if men know this or not. Some of you might. Women talk a lot mm-hmm. about sex mm-hmm. with other women. We analyze it. We give
tips.
And when you have that kind of openness and confidence, I think, to talk about sex, as a woman, you know what works for you and what doesn't. So as Nikki and I were discussing this and we talked about the porngasm and, like, faking it to move things along, I know fairly early when Dave and I are having sex, whether or not I'm going to climax.
And I was like, yeah, I'm the same way.
Right.
Like, there's many factors that will, like, contribute to it. But I can tell from the get-go, like, if this is going to be one where I'm like, you know what, it's just for him or it's for both of us or, hey, I'm going to go first. Like,
right.
I can tell off the bat.
And the thing is that just because we're not going to climax doesn't mean it's not still enjoyable. And I've found that many times with men, sometimes they get too hung up on the female orgasm. And it's like, but why? I still like it. Like, I'm still saying, like, no.
It's still fun. It still feels good.
I still love this. I'm just go at your own pace at this point because it doesn't matter. I'm not going to get there this time.
And one of the things when we were speaking about faking orgasms, I found an article on NBC News. And the women that they had spoken to, 80% of those women have faked an orgasm.
At one point.
And 92% of them faked it to help boost his ego. So they've faked it for different reasons, but honey, it happens.
So that kind of leads to the whole concept behind the porn industry. So I didn't talk about this with you, but lately I've kind of been...
You almost hit me in the face when you
pointed I at me did right not. Now. I'm still a good 6 inches away from your face.
That's average.
There's nothing wrong with average. Gets the job done.
I didn't say there was. I just said that's the average.
So I've kind of been reevaluating my porn activity because of the trafficking stuff that's going on.
But you don't watch child porn.
No. It's not about watching child porn, but sites like Pornhub and stuff like that, they still will upload videos on there. And it's like, no, I just read this whole article about it. Like,
send me that article. Men, I want to read it.
Men pointing out and the comments that they're making, like, oh, look it, you can tell she's underage, which makes it even hotter.
Ew.
Right? So I'm like, damn it. So I've been reevaluating my whole, like, porn history. But anyway, so in discussing porn, because as we've stated in the past, Nikki and I have both, like, you know, watched porn, you know, not regularly, but we'll, you know, not dip our toe. Not together.
No feet porn. What do you say, dip toe?
No feet porn. Fetish porn. But,
there's nothing wrong with a good fetish.
There's nothing wrong with a good fetish, but I'm not watching it.
I know.
Are you watching it?
Sometimes.
Oh my God. Anyway. So, it leads us to the notion that, or not the notion, the fact that porn is an entire industry that is catered to men. So
I listened to a few different sex podcasts, and across the board, it came down to that most porn, so not all, but most porn is male-centered, and it focuses on the male pleasure and the male orgasm.
Even girl-on-girl porn is male-driven.
Right.
For what men want to see. They're not, they're showing, like, the big tit, like, you know, the chicks. You know, when, do you see them when they're licking, and it's like, they're doing that barely, like, that little, like, lick. Yeah. And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you even like what you're licking? Right, but yeah. Again,
and so it goes back to when the guy is done, usually the porn's done,
right?
So the girl fakes it most of the time, half the time,
right?
Sometimes they actually will show a girl having a legit orgasm, except lesbian porn has more, I think, legit female orgasms,
right?
But it's still very male driven.
Well, and like female, the actual female ejaculation, it's just like a little dose that comes out. Because squirting...
I like how you called it a dose.
It is. A dose. Little
dosage.
A little bit. Because squirting is different than female ejaculation.
Correct.
So even that is like... So unless they show that, which is actually kind of like you never see that camera really focusing on that.
Yeah.
They're waiting for the squirt.
When I see the girl like do the shake, like where she's not necessarily... I'm like, okay. I believe that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's some chicks that are full on, like, they're talented. Like,
yeah.
That's a talent. Because They can, like, do, they, yes, you can tell that.
So, in listening to a lot of these podcasts, and then that was across the board, this doctor I was listening to, Dr. Wednesday Martin, she's a PhD, she had made a point. And she said that during the Reagan administration, which was from 81 to 89, that sex ed was abstinence based. And so what did people turn to learn about sex? They turned to porn.
Right.
Which is so not educational.
That's like the opposite of educational.
So it was either you learn abstinence based, which was probably missing a shit ton of information.
Right. Well, even like, so if you have an entire administration. Now, we're not here to discuss the positive and negatives of the Reagan era, but what we're saying is what that did was across the board, it breeded this environment of sex is a non-topic. So you have your like 80s sitcom shows and they're all like squeaky clean.
Right.
I think that's why we were like so jazzed for those after school specials.
Well, remember too, for a long time they didn't show married couples on TV sleeping in the same bed,
like,
or even in their bedroom.
Well, I think that it was way back, but yeah.
But even that, yeah. Like, okay, so they're married. Mr. and Mrs. Brady, I think, was probably one of the first ones of the couple in the same bed. Well, because Lucy and Ricky slept in separate beds.
But eventually they put... But
I remember reading something that even showing their bedroom was like...
risque.
Taboo.
Right.
So even though Reagan was 81 and 89 with that whole abstinence-based sex ed, we're still on the heels of that.
So here we are 30 years later and we're still kind of reeling from that whole idea that sex is... abstinence, like sex ed is abstinence based.
And then if it's not, you're getting it from porn, which is so not reality.
So not right. So here we are raising children. And the one good thing, so like our grandmother, our mom's, our maternal grandmother, she was born in 1912. So you can imagine from her era, not just obviously sex, but even like if I wanted to say, ask her a question about menopause. Because, you know, you can kind of, based off of family history, narrow down like, well, if my grandmother had started menopause at this age and my mother started menopause at this age, more than likely I'll follow that pattern. And I remember being in my 20s and talking to my grandmother about it. She's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just so uncomfortable for her.
Just didn't want to talk about it. I think the good thing about Chapel when it came to sex education is that she didn't beat around the bush.
But Chapel said she talked to us about it so much because
her mother
had zero sex ed.
Right.
Poor Chapel. She didn't even know she started when she started.
I know.
She was playing baseball outside with the boys.
She thought she cut herself.
No,
down there.
How could I cut myself? That's traumatic,
It is. And I remember being like young and starting my period and at first going like, what the heck? I remember like dad was baking in the kitchen. And I was like, I'm just like, what? Did I pee in my pants or what? So I go to the bathroom and I look and I was like, what happened? I'm like upside down looking and I like my head like shot up and I was like, oh, I know what happened. So I was like screaming for mom.
You're smarter than I was.
Screaming for mom. She comes over and she's like, what? I think she was like changing Fluffer's diaper because he was a baby. She's like, what? And I'm like, I think I started my period. She was like, Bob, snapped her fingers.
How old were you?
11.
So I was, I think, 10.
Yeah, around the same. You follow
it. But I thought a period would be blood in terms of red.
Oh, and yours was like off color.
It was like brown.
Mine was murder in the Tonys.
And I woke up and there was like brown all in my underwear.
Ew.
I thought I pooped. I swear to God. And I was like, I didn't know what the hell was happening.
I pooped my pants.
And I'm like, but I don't smell no poop.
It is.
I had this whole internal monologue.
Right.
You know who told me I started my period?
Who?
Because I changed my underwear, right? But like I put the dirty underwear in the bathroom.
Yeah.
In the corner because I needed to go get clean underwear.
Right.
And was going back to that same bathroom.
Right.
But dad got in there first. And I was like, he's going to see my poop underwear. But then dad comes out and I'm like, and I like ran in and did what I had to do. And I'm like trying to clean those underwear. And it just made no sense to me. And then later on, dad's like, Mija, you started your period? And I was like,
it was like normal conversation, right?
I was like, what?
I know.
Dad told me.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to mom and I was like,
you're like, I'm humiliated. So, I mean, the shit women go through, right?
That's so like, embarrassing.
It's traumatic.
Why do I share my shame with the public?
They need to hear this. What if there's like guys here with like daughters of that age? Be on guard. Be on guard for your daughter.
Seriously. Especially if you're a single daddy.
Ooh, yeah. It is.
It's tough.
That's why Bob was a good girl dad.
Yeah.
He would go and
we would just say that
talk
last
about
week.
It. That's
he
right.
would be like, Dad, we're out of pads. He'd go buy them at the store.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
No shame.
He would, yeah. Dad, walk behind me. Am I leaking? I don't know. Walk ahead. Now you're good.
Yeah, Dad.
It's true. So then you make sure to marry men that are like gonna check. That's a good test. Like, ladies, if you're still dating or you're raising boys, raise the kind of guys that are going to be more than willing to make sure that their sisters or their girlfriends or whatever haven't leaked. Because there's guys who are like, I don't know, fucking ask me.
Yeah.
Like, you can't check for me.
You can't just look at my ass for 2 seconds.
Yeah, just, is there blood there?
That's why the fluffer is so good, because we trained him.
Yes.
So I went to his house earlier. He's like, you want me to make you a coffee?
Because Nikki's, you know, because Samuel L. is
yeah.
in town.
Zach got me donuts.
That's nice.
Yeah.
At least he got you donuts.
Our sponsor. Dave.
Anyway.
So, stop saying what I say, stupid slut.
Let's talk about
an orgasm.
Yeah.
Andrea,
so,
what's an orgasm?
An orgasm is...
Is this your Dr. Ruth voice?
Yeah.
Push your glasses up.
A climax of sexual excitement characterized by feelings of pleasure centered in the genitals and in men experienced as an accompaniment to ejaculation. Now, men, we've discussed, Nikki and I recently, can have ejaculationless... Big word.
Yeah.
Or
a lot of syllables.
Orgasms. So men do not have to actually ejaculate to experience an orgasm. And there's actually a really good tip Like, how many?
Just the tip. Just the tip. That's a lie. He's going to shove it all the way in, sister.
He's not. And yes, you can get pregnant from what's just on the tip.
And you can get pregnant even during pulling out.
Yep.
He doesn't love you.
And don't believe him when he says, it's not the same. I can't maintain an erection with the rubber on.
Right. Or just like I tell also my, I told our nephew before he went to college. Mm-hmm. I said, look, I'm going to tell you the truth, homie. Mm-hmm. I said, just because a girl says she's on the pill.
Doesn't believe her.
That she's on the pill. Yes. You better rubber that shit up.
Yeah. But don't double bag it.
Don't double bag it.
I've learned the hard way.
One thing you would double bag is chicken juice. That's what I wanted from you.
Gross. So, there's really actually some interesting tips out there how men can learn to have like multiple orgasms. And one of them was that, you know, obviously a lot of you guys know it's called edging, where you take yourself just to the point of orgasm, but before it gets too far, and then you pull back. And it's like you constantly, continually get yourself there and then pull back there and pull back. And what you're doing is you're just increasing your ability to handle that intense pleasure without exploding all over the place. So it is possible.
Exploding all over the place.
Don't shake the milk carton. Sometimes the gases will make it explode. So I found that to be very fascinating. And I was telling Nikki right before we started recording this, it's amazing how similar men and women are when it comes to things.
And you say I'm the idiot.
Like orgasm.
When it comes to what? I can't even hear you.
When it comes to things like orgasms, men and women are very, very similar.
So initially, we were first talking.
Right.
Who the hell is whistling?
I don't know. It's Ian.
There's going to be a massacre in Arizona.
Oh, this is why we need a studio. Right? We need a sponsor to build us the she shed that we deserve. Or so that we can look it.
Or he needs to make this room soundproof. We're not giving high quality.
I really hope that you guys can hear all the background noise. No,
we hope they don't.
I hope they do. So they're witness to the mania that's going to come for them after. So they can
go find another high quality set of hot bitch sisters to listen to?
Does really another thing exist?
No.
Does it though?
But that's why I said it.
Yeah. Good. Go ahead.
Mental warfare.
Yeah.
So
psychological.
Initially. That's like you and your Sagoon. Initially, we were focusing really on the female orgasm. Andrew wasn't satisfied with the female orgasm.
It wasn't that I wasn't satisfied.
She's never satisfied.
I didn't want to completely neglect men. I did want to, at least up front.
What about the back? I like the back.
I just wanted to kind of address that, and then we've done our due diligence, and now we can move on.
Okay. So with women,
we're only talking about women right now.
Okay. So if you're a boy and you have a cervix, we got to have a talk.
Yeah.
Women. There's the clitoral orgasm, cervix orgasm.
Cervical.
Yeah, cervical orgasm, anal orgasm, and double penetration orgasm.
And that's just to name the general orgasms for women.
And in talking to women, you start to learn how little other women know about our own bodies.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to add in exactly what the cervix is.
Okay.
Okay. So the cervix is the base of the uterus. There's an opening, but you can't penetrate it. It's only about as wide as your thumb. So like I was saying, unless your dick is a taper candle, you still ain't going to get in the cervix.
No.
Okay.
Even still, no matter how
you're not getting in there. So don't like listen to this and be like, about the size of a thumb, I got a long skinny dick, let me try. It ain't gonna work. Okay. So with the cervical orgasm, it is more intense than a clitoral orgasm. Okay. And it's usually like full body, and a lot of women experience tingling sensation in waves from their head to the toe.
And you can have many orgasms.
Right, multiple.
When it's coming from the
cervix. When it's non-clitoral, basically.
Right, whereas with the clitoris, when that's stimulated to the point of orgasm, I think it's equivalent to like men. When a man.
You get so excited talking about sex, you can't get your words out. No. You need a cold shower after this. I hose you down like a dog outside.
My lips are getting like, oh no, I had the bruschetta, the tomato.
Oh, I was like, what? My lips. But your lips swelled the last time we were talking about sex. Your lips swell.
My lips.
The lips. Both of them. The lips. They connected. Mm.
I think that it's comparable to male ejaculation in that after men are done, it's very sensitive and to touch. And it's the same thing for women when it's focused on the clitoris. Once they orgasm, it's that intense rush of blood. And then it's like, okay, stop. After a while, it's like, you need to back off. Like, yeah. I need a minute.
It tickles.
Yeah, like, okay, wait, stop.
Because it happens with the guys. If you mess with it still, they're like, stop!
I always think of... I think this is like the second or third time I bring up Boomerang. But in...
You haven't brought it up.
I've never brought up Boomerang.
No.
In our entire podcast
life. Not that I know.
Oh, okay.
It's a short life.
There's a scene in that movie with Eddie Murphy. He's having sex with Robin Givens. Mm-hmm. And he's just finished. And she continues to move. And he's like, stop. And she continues to move. He's like, no, stop. And she moves again. And he starts sucking his thumb.
I don't remember that part.
It's great.
I haven't seen it in so long.
It's a great scene.
And sometimes, though, when you keep doing that, then they'll come again. And they're like, whoa.
I have that in me. But it's like, women, if you stop, you'll never know how far you can go. You kind of just have to, like...
Safe word.
Yeah. Safe word. Pineapple.
Pineapples, bitch. Pineapples.
So.
During a female orgasm, our genital muscles contract. Our heart rate increases.
Heart rate.
I said heart rate.
You said heart race.
I said heart rate increases.
Okay.
Your listening is as bad as you're speaking today. Mm-hmm. The genitals fill with blood. And here is a big one. And I'm going to focus on Andrew with this one. The brain releases huge doses of oxytocin and dopamine, which cause feelings of closeness, empathy, and happiness. Now, dickhead over here is fucking her chair with her tongue out. But like I have said before, that is why she loves sex so much. And that's the only time she's happy. Because that's the only time she gets oxytocin to her brain.
And dopamine. Don't forget dopamine. Yeah. So we're going to tell our... So in talking about orgasms... We're kind of like, well, do you remember your first orgasm? So I think almost everybody remembers their first
I hope so.
Orgasm because it's very memorable. But you go ahead and give your story.
So I was already in my 20s.
Wait, if you're Chapo, this is the part of the podcast when you want to turn it off.
You know why? She's going to listen because she'll be like, I want to hear when these sucias had their orgasm.
I knew it. Well, guess what? It's too late. That time's passed.
I knew it. They're dirty. They're talking about this on there. They have husbands and children.
Anyway, go
That's
ahead.
Why I got children. I got one. I was already in my 20s. And I can remember sex leading up to this. What now I knew, I didn't know at the time, right when I was going to orgasm, I would stop. Right? We just said about the stopping.
Right.
I would stop and be like, no, stop. Because I didn't know what that feeling was. I didn't know what that sensation was.
It's such a feeling of like a loss of control.
And I almost felt like, shit, I'm going to pee.
Right.
And I did not want to be peeing.
And at that age, unless you're suffering from like incontinence or something like that, you're not
going to
pee.
And there was no incontinence because the Kegels have been going on for a long time.
Right.
And then finally, like the person I was with was like, stop. I was like, that's what I'm saying, full stop.
Pineapple, baby, pineapples.
And he says, just relax. And I'm like, no, seriously, just relax. And it wasn't that I was uncomfortable with my body. Please, I am the most comfortable person with my body. But I just didn't know what was going to happen. And so I let it happen. And then that was the end of it. I was free.
Yeah. For me, I was much younger, and I've always been very sexual. From the time I got into high school, I was a good girl all the way.
This is me, Kermit, sipping his tea.
I was always a good girl, through the very, very young ages. But as soon as I crossed into that, like, 15, 14, 15-year-old range, which lands me right about, like, sophomore, because I was, like, a youngin' when I started high school, age range, that's when I was kind of like, well, I want to know what this feels like. I want to know what this is about. I never felt like self-exploration was anything to be ashamed of, even though Lord knows how we've been preached in from every corner of our lives that it's sinful and it's dirty and it's this and it's that.
And you might be thinking, well, when everybody went to bed, why didn't you do it? Chapel was a night patrol guard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it leaves you things for, like, in the shower. You know, that's when you're kind of like, well, I'm going to see what this is about.
And we all know you can't shower too long.
No, Lord knows. Bang on the door. Thank God I had long hair, because that was, like, my excuse for, like, you know, shampooing my hair for too long.
Then you waste all the shampoo.
And then, so when I first figured out what an orgasm was, it was kind of that, like, oh, my gosh, I knew I wasn't going to stop. That's the thing about.
That's your crack.
That's a,
not gonna stop.
That was the thing about all girls' schools. You want to talk about girls that talk about sex at a very, very young age. You send them to an all girl high school and they're gonna talk about sex a lot. And they're open about it. And they're like, girl, you've never done this, 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 or that. I'm like, no. Tell me.
Inform me with my braces.
Yeah. I know. Tell me. And so from then on, it was just kind of like, well, then I want to know. So it was that. I wanted to know what felt good to me, what I wanted, how to get what I wanted. And I was never afraid to communicate to guys, like, what felt good or what didn't. It never mattered. Shockingly enough, I mean, I started dating Dave so young, I just never slept around much.
Because you don't have a big body count.
I don't have a big body count, just because.
But I hate that term.
I know.
Because it sounds like murder. And I heard that recently. I'm like, why did we
terrible.
Have, like, notches on the belt better or something?
Not even. I mean, but at least it's more comical if you have a big body count.
But every time I hear, I've been hearing body counts, right. I'm like, it sounds like murders. Murder that dick, but still.
But I think I've been very fortunate with the few men that have been in my sexual
repertoire.
History have all been incredibly, and I hate to say giving, like they're giving me a fucking gift, because they're not, but they've always been, they've always been encouraging, like, whatever. So Dave is like, not to gross Nikki out, but if I'm
this
like,
this is when I tune out.
If I want to try something new and it's like, okay, I want to figure out, okay, so I've done this, now I want to get to this. So it's like, okay, this is like, you know, research and development, homie. Like, let's go. He's like, okay, go Gadget.
I picture Dr. Dre and Eminem with the lab right. coats on the side. Oh, yes. Yes.
The correct angle would be. Great. So I think it's really important for women to, first of all, explore your own body. How are you going to be able to tell your partner what it is that you want if you don't have any idea what feels good? And if something hurts you, for crying out loud, don't keep going.
Oh, hell no.
Just because you want him, like, to experience the pleasure. If it hurts you in any way, if it's uncomfortable, then say, I think we need to change positions. I guarantee you, most guys, they don't care. They just want to be, like, they're happy they're in the game. Like, they don't really care.
One of the things that when we were talking about women and orgasms, and especially women that have never had an orgasm, for some women, their clitoris is too sensitive.
There's actually several medical reasons on top of the psychological reasons why women cannot or have not achieved an orgasm.
Right. And so, I mean, it could be anything from, like, pain during sex.
Right.
Which it was a big medical term. Neither of us wanted to even.
I forgot to look it up to find out the pronunciation. I meant to. And I forgot.
It was long. But we're just going to call it pain during sex. Right. Okay, folks? We're all friends here. We're family. We're family.
We're family. We're family.
And again, some, you know, the clitoris is too sensitive. There's so, so many reasons. But that's why masturbation is one. It is okay.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Very.
Because if you don't have that self-exploration, how are you going to know what to tell your partner?
Right.
So I'm all for masturbation.
Well, and I think it helps you kind of value yourself sexually. to say, so as we were preparing for this, this podcast, which we're going to wrap up really shortly here, and we'll continue the rest on part two. But in listening to other podcasts about sex, in so many different variations, they discussed the psychology behind relationships that suffer from sex, or medically, if something's wrong with someone, what can happen because of sex. And so often, the key component to a miserable sex life is a lack of communication. And what'll happen is you'll either have a wife who hasn't had sex with her husband for forever, and sometimes she's feeling too vulnerable to say, hey, we haven't had sex and I miss that aspect of my life. She's waiting for him to seduce her.
Which a woman can initiate.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to, especially if you're married, what, are you going to be labeled as a slut? Because you initiated sex with your own husband?
Yeah, or
in, or if you're in a lesbian relationship with your partner?
Or in a committed relationship of any type.
Right.
What, and even if you're not, even if you're just dating someone and you want sex,
it's okay
to initiate it. If you're with someone and they're like, what are you doing, and it like affects his manhood, well, then that's a good indication that that's probably not the guy for you,
right?
Unless you want to be led around like that. Some women like that. We are not necessarily advocates of things like that, so we're not the sisters for you.
No, honey.
Because we'd be lying to you.
Uh-huh.
And on the male end of things, you often hear, because you really, women get that reputation for like, oh, I mean, when she lets me.
It's a joke, right? When you have sex, your birthday, anniversary.
And Valentine's Day. And if you got married.
In February.
You're screwed.
In the best way, only for that month.
Yeah, only for that month. February is your shining moment.
Right.
But that's the ongoing thing, right? Oh, you know, she always says no, or like men are begging for it. And there's so much going on in women. There's hormone changes that happen.
If you have kids kill everything, man.
Oh, man. Kids. Whew. There's a lot that goes into a woman who's just, her libido is low. That is actually a medical thing, why she could have a low libido. Not always. Sometimes no. They're just born with a low libido.
Well, and another thing that I was listening to from another doctor.
Wait, not like a baby. I'm talking about when they develop. I'm like, sometimes they're born with a low libido, meaning.
I know what you meant. Well, I think just, they know what you meant.
I'm just clarifying. You never know.
Don't over-explain.
Okay.
We talked about this.
Okay.
There's so many hormones within a woman. So it always, people will go, oh, she needs estrogen. Or her estrogen levels.
It's about so much estrogen. More than estrogen.
And it's okay, honey, to talk to your doctor.
Which leads to another thing that we heard with doctors talking about, like, the MDs in their offices with their patients. Number one, a lot of doctors are uncomfortable initiating that kind of conversation.
Which is mind-blowing because they're a freaking doctor.
So it then becomes up to us to become our own advocates to say, hey, listen, you know, this is going on. I'm having a very difficult time becoming aroused. Mentally, you can want sex, but your body isn't responding.
Right.
That's when it's time to talk to a doctor and say, what can I do to rectify this whole situation?
It could be like the simplest blood panel.
Yep.
One little hormone off.
Right.
And you could be good.
Absolutely.
Or it could be something deeper. You don't know. It could be life-saving, life-changing, whatever.
Right.
But talk to your doctor. That's what they're there for. That's what you pay them for.
Because in talking about the importance of orgasms, the health benefits behind or that are attached to having an orgasm is huge. So it reduces inflammation of the body. It reduces stress and pain. It provides circulation and relaxation, and it lowers cardiovascular risk. So I was telling Nikki the story of like when I was pregnant, I would get really bad nausea. And when I would have sex, I was actually free of those symptoms for up to like 2 to 3 hours.
It's the oxytocin and the dopamine.
Right? It relieves that kind. For me, sex is, it's not, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't have to justify myself to you, Nikki.
This goes back to her.
I feel your judgy eyes.
Heartless dick. Get it? Dick.
For me, and I think we've covered this before, but sex isn't necessarily like an emotional experience all the time with me. Sometimes it is the stress reliever that I need. I just need to kind of get what I need and I feel better. And I'm like, I'm good. I can go to sleep now.
Well, is that sex or just an orgasm though?
Oh no, it can be just sex. Sometimes it's just enough. Like the sex itself is like enough. Either it's a distraction or it's releasing it. Even that act is releasing enough hormones to kind of get me like, all right, awesome. Yeah. I can move on with my day. Orgasm for sure. It's like,
and so pregnancy, we had different experiences because when I was pregnant, sex hurt a lot.
Right.
And I remember one of the appointments I asked the doctor. She was actually shocked that I even brought it up.
Because a lot of women don't.
But it's not, I wasn't gonna stop having sex because I was pregnant.
Of course not.
Because I know that the penis doesn't hit the baby's head like so many people think.
Well, and then, you know, like there's a lot of men in terms of women being pregnant, they're like weirded out by their pregnant.
Well, they're afraid of hurting her, well, or they think it's weird.
Well, some men, we know one in our life, he actually was like grossed out to touch his wife's stomach when the baby moved. It grossed him out.
That's so weird.
And so imagine like having sex, or some men just start to view their wife as like a mother. It's like, are you kidding me?
It ain't your mother.
Like, really?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to be able to keep having sex.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure that like nothing was wrong because it hurt.
Right.
Once I got that clear, it was fine. Now you make adjustments with your body.
Of course.
As pregnancy goes on. Yeah.
And then there's that myth that they tell you that if you have sex, it'll bring on labor, you know, faster.
Yeah.
It didn't.
That last week, that's
poor
a
Dave.
Lie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I will always say Dave was over there doing God's work because I was like, Titanic.
Again! Do it again!
Harder this time!
You didn't do it right! You didn't inject enough.
It was like crew team. It was like, pull! Pull!
Do a higher dose, Dave.
Higher dose. You didn't shoot it high enough up there. My baby's still not coming out.
What kind of madcap put me into labor?
I did. If you were a real man, I'd have gotten into labor by now.
Oh my God.
It didn't work.
Pansy.
And I'm sure he was just like, yeah, this is great. My wife is literally the Titanic. I would like get onto my back to roll onto my side. I swear my belly was like, oh.
Your belly stuck out a lot
huge.
When you were pregnant.
I would get the biggest pregnancy, but I mean, this thing was like knock over vases.
It's so cute.
It popped out so far.
Andrea hated the way she looked pregnant. I thought, you know why? Because you look so approachable pregnant.
I looked kind.
You looked nicer. Maybe that's why I like the way you are pregnant. I like you pregnant and barefoot in the kitchen cooking me a meal.
Oh, gross.
Go make me a sandwich.
Oh, gross. So, I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Wrap it up. AIDS numbers are down. Let's keep it that way,
we
folks.
Are going to continue this conversation next week, part two of
Rumpy Pumpy.
So.
Was it Pumpy or Bumpy?
Pumpy.
Pumpy.
Rumpy.
Rumpy Pumpy. Pumpy.
Part two next week. So, if in the interim you have anything you want to add, if there's something you felt that we didn't cover justly, if you feel you were misrepresented, if you feel like you have a question, if you're a woman with a question, we might not have the answers for you, but we might be able to help you find the answer.
Right.
Just hit us up. Our email, which I'm going, you know, I have to start reminding them that we have an email.
Yeah.
suburbanhoodmoms@gmail.com. If you want to stay like on the private side.
And I also encourage our friends to email us hate mail to Andrea.
That's terrible.
Hey, you abuse me on here. They're going to abuse you on there.
I think that they love me. Mm. They don't love me. You think they love you more?
No.
I think it's possible to love two people. You can be in love with two people at the same time for different reasons.
Okay.
I think some of them like that part of me. Yeah. And I don't think I'm mean. I think I'm very nice, actually. But if
remember
you want to...
talked about this
if you want to chime in on this topic, too, You can also head over to our Instagram or Facebook, both at Suburban Hood Moms, or you can find us on Twitter at Diary Moms, and just leave a comment on as to what a jerk Nikki is under this podcast thread.
And Andrew being a cuntosaurus, if there's a topic you want to hear us talk about, slide into our DMs, let us know, or utilize that email that the bish just said.
And don't forget to like, not lick, share, follow, and comment on this love fest. That's all for this week. Vaya con Dios, stay safe, wear your masks, and take your vitamins like a good little Hulkamaniac.
Now get the fuck out.
Peace.